And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the president of Historic Philadelphia, Amy Needle. Amy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, got to have you back here because believe it or not, the holidays are fast approaching, and I cannot believe that either. You're shaking your head there. Let's see. Let's first start off with, if anyone is not familiar with Historic Philadelphia, can you tell us a bit about the background of Historic Philadelphia and the properties that you oversee?
Sure. Historic Philadelphia is a nonprofit organization that was founded by Ed Rendell when he was mayor, and it runs the Betsy Ross House. It runs Franklin Square, which we renovated over 12 years ago, and operate that. And we also run all of the storytelling and tours and free programming in the historic district with partnership with the National Park Service. So Historic Philadelphia is an umbrella nonprofit that runs all of those entities.
And when this got started, Franklin Square being the most obvious thing to point to, people were not using these facilities or were not taking advantage of Old City Philadelphia.
Right. You know, all of Old City, just like all of Philadelphia, has really gone through such a tremendous renaissance. And really, the historic district as we know it now was nothing like it was 10, 15, especially 20 years ago. And that's where, you know, I'll give all the credit to Governor Rendell, who really had a vision for the historic district. You know, he's a huge history lover, and he really knew that it was so important. You know, history is such an important icon of Philadelphia, but it really needed to be enlivened. And it really, in addition to having the incredible assets that we have, like the Bell and the Hall, we really did need to round out the experiences, both on sort of the museum front, like the incredible National Constitution Center, the Museum of Revolution, but also in the sort of high-touch activities that's what Once Upon a Nation does so well with the storytelling program and our tours, our Tipler's tour, our Independence After Hours tour. So he knew and saw that all those things were really important, which is one of the reasons why he created the nonprofit.
It seems like his philosophy has always been, we can beat the other cities at history.
Yeah, well, I think him being a New Yorker, I think, and then coming to Philadelphia, you know, I think he's a real Philadelphia fighter, just like, you know, so many of us. So, yes, I think that is correct. And, you know, and we hear from visitors all the time, especially about our storytelling, that they want that in other cities, you know, and they say, oh, it'd be great if this was in all the other national parks, because it really is. If you haven't done it, there will be storytelling actually in the visitor center during the holiday season. But the storytelling program itself runs from Memorial Day to Labor Day. I know I'll be back in the spring to talk about that. But it's great. It's for kids and for adults who love history or who just are having sort of a interest in history. It's a great way to start because you hear about lesser known people who really made our country's history and helped make the country.
It also ties things together. As you're wandering along, it keeps you in the mood, or I hate to say in the spirit, but it's something that breaks up a stroll between one building and another, and it's something to look forward to. And again, it shines a light on a lot of aspects of Philadelphia life and history that you don't see anywhere else.
Right. You're absolutely right. It connects the dots for people. Not only does it connect the dots geographically, but it also is almost like a calling card for what the places that you're about to go into. So you might step at the Carpenter's Hall bench and hear a story that happened right there in Carpenter's Hall, but then that might pique your interest. And so you'll be like, oh, well, let's go into Carpenter's Hall. Let's hear a little bit more. And that's what I think is so great about it.
And we're ignoring the money issue here. Nobody else was going to fix up Franklin Square. I mean, what was its condition when you got started?
It was in deplorable condition, actually. It was the fountain hadn't worked in decades. There were no lights, it was really abandoned. And, you know, there was a significant homeless population that was living in it. And we were lucky enough, really, that's how I think about it, to be able to work with the city and the Fairmount Park Commission at the time to renovate it. Historic Philadelphia raised the funds to renovate it and now are able to operate it. And we get to, you know, have year-round operation and do great things. Like we just had a pumpkin patch a few weeks ago where we had 500 pumpkins that we gave out for free. And kids came to the pumpkin patch and got to decorate them and take them home. And now, you know, we're getting ready for electrical spectacle. So great things like that that we have a chance to do. But yes, it was when we first started thinking about the renovations, it was really amazing how many people didn't really even know where Franklin Square was. And then they said, oh, that place I drive by on the way to the bridge? Yes, that place. And even still now, people don't realize it's big. It's 6.5 acres. It's beautiful. It's amusement oasis. It's a great place to come and spend the afternoon.
Well, they had a Dîner en Blanc there a couple of years back.
We did.
It was gorgeous. You just don't get the size. The geography of it is hidden.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it fit 5,000 people very easily. And over the years, it's fit Civil War encampments. It's fit many, many different events. But it was an island, and that was before the National Constitution Center went in, too. You had to walk a few blocks to even get to it.
Yeah. I mean, the history that we've learned about Franklin Square is that it was once a community park, that there were residential houses and businesses that surrounded it. And so, of course, it was the place to be. And then what happened over the years when the construction of 95 and the bridge happened, all of those houses or a lot of the houses that bordered it and businesses went away. And so it became abandoned. And so that's what, you know, that's when the issues with the park happened. You know, the fountain stopped working right after the bicentennial and it didn't work since. It's, you know, it stopped working. Now the wonderful thing that's happening is that with the renovation of Franklin Square and the sort of ongoing communities, not only at Chinatown, who continues to use the park every day, but neighborhoods who are popping up all over the place, and Northern Liberties, they're building condos right next to it, Metro Club condominiums right next to it. The community is back.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are now continuing to use Franklin Square as that community park, in addition to having tourists be able to use it after they've experienced their day in history.
Talk a little bit about the features of the park today, because if you don't have little kids, especially, you might go to an event after hours, you might go to the Lantern Festival or something like that. But there's a lot there for everybody to do.
Yeah. So it was really important when we started the renovation that it wasn't just a passive park. It couldn't be a place like Rittenhouse Square, because there needed to be a reason to go. And so we created attractions in the park. So there is a Philly mini golf course, which is, you know, you can putt your way through all the icons of Philadelphia. There is a carousel. There are two playgrounds, one for little kids and one for bigger kids. There's food, Square Burger, great burgers, shakes, dogs, and fries. There are restrooms in the park. And sort of the centerpiece of the square is this beautiful fountain, which actually we believe is one of the oldest continuing operating fountains in the country, if not the oldest. And we're really excited because this fall we were able to groundbreak on a project that's a $2 million fountain restoration and show. And so we're really excited that this spring and summer we will debut this Franklin Square fountain show.
Now, you have a fountain right now that, mm-hmm. that goes off. So describe what's going to happen. Is this being expanded or what's going down here?
Right. So if you were in Franklin Square over the summer, you saw the beautiful fountain. It is, you know, I guess City Council passed a resolution in 1870 saying there should be a fountain in Franklin Square. So ever since that time, there has been a fountain in Franklin Square. We thought it was important that, so the fountain is actually 180 years old. And we thought, how about we create a fountain show for people to come and be able to see? And so this show will be synchronized to music. There will be Jets that will be dancing, choreographed to music. In the evening, there will also be lights that will illuminate the fountain. And so you will come to Franklin Square and bring your family, friends, grab a picnic, sit and watch the fountain show. There will be several different shows that you'll be able to watch. The shows will range from 3 minutes to 6 minutes. They'll be on the half an hour in the evenings. And during the daytime, there'll also be a lunchtime show.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and it'll be free. So you'll be able to just come in, grab a spot, and watch the show. And we think it'll be really exciting. There's all sorts of, you know, new fountain jets and nozzles that will be creating this show. And we're working with a fountain designer who will be creating the show and synchronizing it to the music. So right now we're working on coming up with what those songs should be, which is always fun and challenging. And we're excited to, you know, be able to get to see the finished product sometime this summer.
Free. And that's mm-hmm. and that's an amazing thing, that it's just another attraction in Philadelphia that a family can go into town or stroll over from their neighborhood, and families are moving in all around it. Now it's becoming an anchor for the area. And enjoy something that doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah, we think that's really important. I mean, I think that parks in general are so important for, well, everyone, frankly. But especially in cities where, you know, you don't have a backyard or a front yard. Well, that's what Franklin Square is to a lot of people. It is their backyard or their front yard. And to be able to also provide not only just this beautiful green space, but other events for people to come and do that are free. So during the holidays, we do the Electrical Spectacle Light Show. We think that the fountain show will have the same sort of feeling, that you'll come for the fountain show and, you know, hopefully spend the evening, bring a picnic basket, get a picnic basket, sit and relax and enjoy the show.
It's become that kind of it no longer needs attractions to get people to come over. It has become that passive park that people can just go sit on a bench and just enjoy.
Right.
Walk the dog, ride the bike through, just enjoy a nice park area.
Exactly.
And I keep going back to the word free there. So if it wasn't for Historic Philadelphia, this project wasn't going to get done, was it?
Right. It probably wouldn't have. I mean, I think that I feel that we were lucky to be able to come in at a time where, right, no one really wanted to do anything about it. It was at a time where we were working very closely with the city, but, you know, the city can't do everything. They don't have the funds to do everything. And that's why they work with so many different partners to be able to you know, make some of these things happen, although we rely very heavily on the city for support, and the Park and Rec Department is incredible to work with. And you know, that we're always closely working with them because they, you know, do such a great job with all the parks in the city.
You have other partnerships, though, and one of them is the relationship you have with the National Parks
mm-hmm.
National Parks
Service.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. I couldn't think of that word. And then having the use of the properties to move through and to bring programming into.
Yeah.
And that's rather unique, isn't it?
It's very unique. Historic Philadelphia couldn't do what we do, frankly, without any of our partners, but the National Park Service and the city are both two critical partners. One, in the Park Service, when Historic Philadelphia actually was created, we couldn't program in the park. So imagine that, having a history organization that couldn't work within the park, National Park. Luckily, over time, we had other superintendents in place that allowed Historic Philadelphia and understood the partnership that we could provide. We can't do what any of the park rangers do. That's not our job. Our job is to interpret the history and to make the history relevant and real. And, you know, it's a partnership. It's a team. And that's what the Park Service in Philadelphia and in Valley Forge, where we also do some programming, really understand. You know, it's this mutual respect admiration for each other that I think makes the partnership work so well together. So yes, we are able to have storytelling benches in the National Park Service and, you know, explain things that you might not hear on an Independence Hall tour, but outside of Independence Hall, you might learn that, oh, at one point, Charles Wilson Peel had a museum inside that building. Or at one point when the British occupied, it was actually a jail. So there are fascinating things that, you know, you may or may not hear on the tour that our storytellers can give you the history and have you understand. And we can only do that because we have a historian on our staff that works very closely with the National Park Service and vets everything to make sure that everything is 100% historically accurate. Because why do it otherwise?
Right. Hey, if you're just joining us, this is Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the president of Historic Philadelphia, Amy Needle. If you'd like more information about what we're talking about, all the programming of any of their facilities and the holiday events that are coming up that we're going to talk about now, go to historicphiladelphia.org, historicphiladelphia.org. And now let's roll into some of that other parts. The holidays I alluded to are very quickly approaching. Every store has their holiday stuff up now. So let's start with, how about the Betsy Ross House? We've been neglecting her right now.
Well, Betsy Ross House is another great story, really. Once again, Historic Philadelphia started working at the Betsy Ross House under that management of Ed Rendell when the organization started, and over the years has really transformed the experience. And so if you haven't been to the Betsy Ross House since your fourth grade field trip, please go. It's an incredible experience. It really is a story of this one of the first female entrepreneurs. You know, I mean, not only did, in my opinion, not only did she sew the flag, but she did some incredible things, all sort of almost, well, she might have been arrested for what she did. You know, she was really doing some treasonous acts there. So she has a great story. The house is amazing. But during the holidays, the Betsy Ross House works with the Old City District, another great partner. And this holiday season, there actually will be celebrating all the holidays there. There will be a beautiful tree and festivities surrounding the tree later in November. But there also will be this year a menorah as well as a canara. So we'll, all the holidays will be celebrated in the Betsy Ross courtyard, which I think is really wonderful. And there'll be special holiday programming on Saturdays and Sundays. And I know especially during Hanukkah, they'll be lighting the menorah each evening.
And and of course, all of that will be on your website.
Everything's on the website, historicphiladelphia.org, best place to find all the information about the holidays.
And you can find out what the special programming is each Saturday and Sunday and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things that happens at the Betsy Ross House, not only during the holidays, but then later also in the winter months, so another great place to look on the website, if you like chocolate. Back in the day, meaning in colonial time, you know, there was not a lot of tea drinking going on. People drank chocolate for their morning meal or morning coffee instead of coffee, and a lot of times in addition to. And so the Betsy Ross House does a lot of chocolate making activities, and it's really great, and I would highly recommend going to check that out as well.
And again, on the website, historicphiladelphia.org. Now we move over back to Franklin Square. We've been talking about it so much because you have to talk about it the most. And you've already alluded to the electrical spectacle. Come on, tell us what that is.
So the electrical spectacle holiday light show presented by PICO is a light show that really illuminates the whole square. The centerpiece is the giant kite, which is hard to miss. You know, think Ben Franklin, Franklin Square. There's a big, big, big key that winds all the way around the fountain. And then there are 75,000 lights that illuminate the square. So there are lights coming out from the kite. There are lights in the trees. There are lights on all the buildings. There are lights everywhere. And all these lights are synchronized to the holiday tunes that happen every half hour, beginning at 4:30 in the evening and going till 9 o'clock at night. And so, again, great place to come and bring your family. There is a warm-up tent that has hot chocolate and alcoholic drinks for adults, of course, and some treats, special treats. We call the warm-up tent Ben's Sweets and Treats, so that you can definitely get something there. But in addition to Ben's Sweets and Treats, there are big fire pits and areas to sit and watch the show. The show is synchronized to all the holiday tunes, so Sleigh Ride, and it's choreographed by music from the Philly Pops. So it's really a magical place at the holiday time frame. The first person at the 4:30 show, our guest host, usually helps ignite the first show. So if you get there early and want to have your kid or grandkid help light the first show, just see our host who walks around in the lighted top hat, and he will help you do that.
That sounds like fun, too.
That's a fun way to start it.
And okay, so we just went through Ben's Sweets and Treats, and you said that there is a beer garden.
There is a beer garden. We call it the Winter Beer Garden. And so, yes, you can warm up at the fire pits and, warm your inside and out, I guess. and then, warm up inside the tent as well, in between the shows. But all of the attractions are also open. So you can ride the carousel. The carousel has holiday tunes. You can go and play mini golf. I mean, it's sometimes nice to be out on a brisk evening and play a little round of mini golf. Square Burger also is open and has holiday treats as well. What we have found is that Franklin Square at the holidays is really one of the holiday traditions that people now know and love. And so what we see is people coming from Macy's, people coming from Comcast, whether they have their Macy's bags and they're going and then they're, heading down to the Blue Cross River Rink. I think Philadelphia now has so much to offer during the holidays. It really is a wonderful place to be. And whether you can do it all in one night or you can do it for a weekend, Visit Philly, I know, has great hotel packages. This year, the Flash bus is actually free in the evenings, and so you can go to all these different locations on the Flash route. The Independence Visitor Center does the Flash and does a terrific job operating the Flash year-round, but working with Visit Philly on this very special loop, so we're really excited about that.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Wow.
So really, and so many of these attractions are free, too. So, you can go to the Comcast Center. You can go to Dilworth. You can go to Macy's. You can come to Franklin Square. You can go to all these other great experiences really inexpensively and great traditions for your family. And, if you get a hot chocolate along the way, great.
Well, now let's go into Saturdays and Sundays have special programming because you can't forget Santa and you can't forget you got music.
Of course, that's right. So on Saturdays in Franklin Square, we have what's called Santa Saturdays. And so we do a paid event with him. Called Cookies and Milk with Santa. And that runs every Saturday after Black Friday. So you can, for a small fee, have cookies and milk with Santa. It's inside our heated pavilion. It's your chance to get, up close and personal and give them your list and take pictures and all of that and have cookies and milk. And be warm. And if you're not interested in that, then later in the evening, we have Jingle and Mingle with Santa. And Santa is out on one of our giant storytelling benches, and he's there greeting guests for free. You can give him your list. You can have your picture taken with him. excuse me, all of that is available, and it's every Saturday evening through, of course, as we get close to Christmas, and he, you know, gets very busy in his workshop and it's no longer available to come to Franklin Square.
Mm-hmm. On Sundays, you do have musical selections.
We do. It's really fun to be there on Sundays. We have sounds on Sundays, and so we have a variety of choir groups that come on Sunday evenings and perform in between the electrical spectacle light shows. So that's another great time to come. I mean, it's, you know, I think this time of year is so special, and people really are just always looking for new traditions and old traditions to do with their families. And so that's why we're thrilled that Franklin Square can provide so many of these. Fridays, we also have very themed evenings. So we'll have the Nutcracker on one Friday. We'll have the Grinch one Friday. So again, I recommend everyone checking the website for the most up-to-date information to find out, you know, if you know you're coming on a given night, just look at the website and see, you know, what works for that evening for your family.
And of course, there is Hanukkah.
Of course, there is Hanukkah, yes. And we will have Hanukkah festivities on the Friday of Hanukkah. And in addition, as I mentioned, at the Betsy Ross house, we'll be lighting the menorah each evening.
And finally, we wrap up the season with New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. So actually, again, we have two New Year's Eve events to talk about. It just so happens that Betsy Ross's birthday is on January 1st, but we always celebrate it with a big birthday bash on December 31st at the Betsy Ross house. So it's a fun day for, I think, families because you can go to the Betsy Ross house and celebrate her birthday. Always do that in a big way there. Make cards, have chocolate, have cake. And then you can go over to Franklin Square where from 3 to 8 o'clock we have, again, free activities for the family. We have craft activities in the pavilion. Some years it's been really nice to be outside, and some years it's been really cold. Last year, you remember, it was really cold. We had crafting activities in the pavilion, and then there is a giant square that is put upon Square Burger, and it's set up high, and then as we get close to 6 o'clock, the square drops, and we do a countdown. And at 6 o'clock from Franklin Square, you can see the fireworks, the Sugar House fireworks that the Delaware River Corporation unveils. And so it has been a terrific tradition that we do in Franklin Square for all these years. We've done this New Year's Eve event, and you know, it's really popular. Some people called it Times Square for kids because it really has so many families come out, because then you've celebrated New Year's, you can go home,
put them to bed,
babysitter, put them to bed, go back out again if you want, or just, you know, hang out. But it's, again, another wonderful tradition for Philadelphians and for people who are visiting, you know, and there's, again, so much to do in Philadelphia on that evening. This is a special one for kids. And again, we couldn't do it without our partners that help us, not only with the fireworks, but with the flash and everything.
And of course, all of this, again, on your website.
All of it's on our website. And right, one big partner that I would love to mention also is PICO, because not only are they sponsoring the electrical spectacle, but they're out helping us hang the lights with MJK and IBEW. So they're, all of those three are great partners for this.
Well, it takes a lot of it takes a lot to make Philadelphia the family friendly and fun place that it is, and again, it's, if we hadn't had historic Philadelphia a few, you know, 100 years ago, when were you founded again? What year was it?
It's about 25 years ago.
25 years ago, can we imagine what the city would be like without all of these wonderful things that are happening in these wonderful areas, and somebody making the national parks more accessible to us as well. So kudos to you and to,
it's a huge
to our
team effort. Yes.
Yeah, it is. But thank heaven somebody's doing it. And again, for more information, everything that we have talked about today and a heck of a lot more, historicphiladelphia.org. historicphiladelphia.org. And my guest today has been the president of Historic Philadelphia, Amy Needle. Siegel. Amy, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Let me be the first, or probably the 55th today. Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware.